Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. We need to be aware of situations that can come about in our lives that make us vulnerable and susceptible to being influenced. If we are not careful, there are things that can slip by our defenses and our filters. If we are not wary, and when we are naive, we can be taken advantage of. We are all capable of being manipulated and controlled, and most of us have been at one time or another. You may not have realized it when you were in the midst of that situation, but when we look back on things we have been through, we can all identify times in our lives when there was manipulation and control used. And there are different reasons and different circumstances for how it comes about. But there is a spirit that seeks to dominate and to have control and to have authority in people's lives. And we see this all the time in our world. And one of the biggest things that are used to manipulate and control people are employment situations. You know, an employer can bring a lot of pressure to bear on a person and cause you to do things that you really don't want to do. It is a form of manipulation and a form of control. The spirit of manipulation and control is dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And it is a great evil. There's just no simple or kind way to put it. Why would someone seek to manipulate someone else's life and have control over them, to have authority over them? The spirit of manipulation and control is never satisfied. And it always seeks more and more control over people's lives. As soon as you give in to that spirit that wants to manipulate and control you, it doesn't stop. It keeps taking more and more and more away from you. It wants absolute authority over you. It is a lying, deceitful, conniving, and scheming force that will consume you and take control of your life if you are not careful. Many people refer to the manipulative and controlling spirit as the Jezebel spirit. Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, one of the kings of Israel who led them deeper into idolatry. Jezebel was a Sidonian, and the Sidonians are descendants of Canaan. The Sidonians were idolaters who worshipped false gods, and Yahweh had left them in the land to test Yisrael. Let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 29. First Kings 16, verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, sovereign of Yehuda, Ahab, son of Omri, became sovereign over Yisrael. And Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Yisrael in Shomron 22 years. And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the eyes of Yahweh, more than all those before him. And it came to be as though it had been a light matter for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nevat, that he took as wife Isabel, the daughter of Ethbaal, sovereign of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and bowed himself to it, and raised up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Shomron. And Ahab made an Asherah. And Ahab did more to provoke Yahweh Elohim of Yisrael than all the sovereigns of Yisrael before him. Now, Ahab was not the model king. He was not the ideal sovereign and ruler. And he set a bad example for all of Israel. And they followed him into idolatry. Did Jezebel have an effect on Ahab? Was she controlling and manipulative? Did she have an influence over Ahab? Well, Ahab wanted the vineyard of a man named Naboth because he wanted to make a vegetable garden there. Naboth refused to sell his vineyard to Ahab, so Ahab went back to the palace and he pouted like a little child. 1 Kings 21 and verse 4. And Ahab went into his house embittered and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Israelite had spoken to him when he said, I do not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and did not eat food. And Isabel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so embittered that you are not eating food? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Israelite and said to him, give me your vineyard for silver, or if you prefer, I give you another vineyard for it. But he answered, I do not give you my vineyard. So Isabel, his wife, said to him, do you now rule over Yisrael? Rise up, eat food, and let your heart be glad. Let me give you the vineyard of Naboth the Yisraelite. Then she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people. And seat two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed Elohim and the sovereign. Then you shall take him out and stone him to death. And the men of his city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of his city, did as Isabel had sent to them. As it was written in the letters, which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. And the men, sons of Belial, came in and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed Elohim and the sovereign. So they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones. And he died. And they sent to Isabel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to be, when Isabel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Isabel said to Ahav, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Israelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. So, we see two different examples of manipulation and control here. Did Ahav manipulate Isabel by pouting and looking for sympathy? By refusing to eat? He used manipulation and control to get what he wanted. He knew if he put on this big act of refusing to eat and being sad and laying in bed, he knew Isabel would do something about it. And what about Isabel? Was she controlling and manipulative as well? She took the situation into her own hands and wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his royal seal. And what else did she gain from what she did? Ahab was in her debt. And she could hold what she did over his head. Now, he didn't want to get his hands dirty doing what she did. But he allowed her to do it. He knew she was going to do something because he purposefully manipulated her into doing something. And she did. They were both deceiving and controlling and manipulative. The controlling and manipulative spirit seeks to have authority and power over someone and their life. And it wants to strip people of their free choice and enslave them by control. And it uses great pressure to bring that control about. Okay, let's continue on in 1 Kings 21, verse 25. 1 Kings 21 and verse 25. Indeed, there never was anyone like Ahav who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of Yahweh, because Isabel, his wife, stirred him up. And he acted very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom Yahweh dispossessed from before the children of Israel. She stirred him up. You know, she manipulated him. She controlled him. She had authority over him. Yeshua talks about this same spirit in the book of Revelation and warns against allowing that spirit to come into the assemblies and to control and manipulate people. Because Control and manipulation is not the way of our Abba. Whose way is it? Who wants to have control and authority over people and over their lives? It's the adversary, the accuser. He wants the worship of men. Revelation 2 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. But I hold against you that you allow that woman, Isabel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and lead my servants astray to commit whoring and to eat food offered to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her whoring, and she did not repent. See, I am throwing her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction, unless they repent of their works. And I shall slay her children with death, and all the assembly shall know that I am the one searching the kidneys and hearts, and I shall give to each one of you according to your works. There are false teachers, false prophets, and those who spread false doctrine, who use the manipulative and controlling spirit to have authority over people. And Yahweh calls shepherds to watch over and protect the flock, not manipulators and taskmasters. Anyone who uses manipulation and control is not a leader, and not a teacher, and not a shepherd, and is not even fit to even be near the people of Yahweh, because they are a threat and a danger. There are other ways the manipulative spirit works as well. What about fear and intimidation? Are those ways of controlling and manipulating someone? You know, we all have a strong reaction to fear. And we all suffer at times from being intimidated by someone or something. What about guilt and shame? What about blame and refusing to take responsibility? Are those forms of manipulation? What about sympathy? The controlling spirit will take advantage of our weaknesses and exploit them. The controlling and manipulative spirit knows our weaknesses, and it uses them against us. Have you ever been in a situation where everything gets turned around and placed on you, and you are blamed for something that you did not even do? The controlling spirit is very good at manipulating situations for its own benefit. And sadly, the controlling and manipulative spirit is alive and well among the people of Yahweh and among the assemblies. And many don't discern what is right in their midst. We have to be careful and use wisdom and use what Yahweh has given us. Okay, let's turn over to Daniel 3 and verse 14. Daniel 3 and verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my Elohim, and you do not do obeisance to the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of instruments, and you fall down and do obeisance to the image which I have made, good. But if you do not do obeisance, you are immediately thrown into the midst of a burning furnace of fire. And who is the Allah who does deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the sovereign, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For if so, our Allah whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace of fire, and from your hand, O sovereign, he does deliver. But if not, let it be known to you, O sovereign, that we do not serve your Elohim, nor do we do obeisance to the gold image which you have set up." They refused to let that spirit manipulate them, to control them, and to have authority over them. They knew what they were saying. They knew that they were putting their lives on the line. Did Nebuchadnezzar try to control and manipulate Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He was trying to get what he wanted through manipulation. And he also tried to use fear against them. What if they had given in? I mean, look at the stage he set here. He has the furnaces stoked and burning. They're ready. He has them brought before him by his royal guard. He's set to make an example out of them. You know, he wants them to give in. He wants them to allow that controlling, manipulative spirit to take authority over them. But they stood up to him and refused. No wonder he was so infuriated, because he thought, I have them right where I want them. Surely they are going to give in to my demands and to my wishes. But they didn't. The controlling and manipulating spirit also uses emotions as weapons. It can be so nice and so attentive and so helpful when it is working to gain your trust and to get you to let down your guard. Have you ever had someone turn on you because you did not do what they wanted? When the controlling spirit senses that it is losing control, it becomes openly hostile, abusive, and angry. It begins attacking and tearing down. And it will go deceitfully behind your back and attack your character and your reputation. When Yeshua would not answer him, Pilate tried to control him by using his life to bargain with. But Yeshua knew Pilate had no authority over him. Let's turn to John 19 and verse 6. John 19 and verse 6. So when the chief priests and officers saw him, they shouted, saying, "Impale! Impale!" And Pilate said to them, "You take him and impale him, for I find no guilt in him." The Yehudim answered him, saying, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, for he has made himself the son of Elohim." So when Pilate heard this word, he was more afraid, and went back into the palace, and asked Yehoshua, "Where are you from?" But Yehoshua gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I possess authority to impale you, and I possess authority to release you?" Yehoshua answered, "You would possess no authority against me if it were not given you from above. Because of this, he who delivered me to you has greater sin." From then on, Pilate was seeking to release him. But the Yehudim shouted, saying, "If you release this one, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a sovereign does speak against Caesar." Pilate's attempt to control and manipulate Yeshua was turned back on him, because the crowd used threats to manipulate and control Pilate into giving them what they wanted. And we know that a greater force was behind this whole situation. We know who is ultimately behind the spirit of control and manipulation. I have seen that ugly, nasty, and abusive spirit in action, and I have been on the receiving end of that abuse and anger. And I'm sure there are many of the called out people of Yahweh who have experienced an encounter with this spirit of control and manipulation. It gets very angry and upset when it doesn't get its way. It's like a spoiled child. You know, just like the example we saw of Ahav when he didn't get the field he wanted. You know, I have been yelled at. I've been threatened. I've been accused. I have been slandered. And I have been lied about. And yes, it is upsetting. And it hurts. Especially when it comes from someone you care about and who is dear to you. Maybe someone you considered a friend. Someone you had confided in. Someone you trusted. Even those closest to you can become an enemy. And we just have to use the wisdom and the discernment that Yah gives us. None of us are above being taken in and deceived by the controlling and manipulative spirit. We have to learn to watch for the signs and what it looks like. That spirit destroys lives and leaves people with scars that they carry around for years. The spirit of manipulation and control victimizes people. And it stops at nothing to gain the control and authority that it craves. And it does not care who gets hurt or what kind of damage it causes. And one of the worst things of all is that people who are victimized are left feeling that it is all their fault, and their self-worth and self-esteem are destroyed. You know, the people who possess this spirit of manipulation and control are victims themselves. they're consumed with this spirit, and it controls them, and it has authority over their life, and they don't even see it. And you can't point it out to them because they are so deceived and under the power of that spirit. It feeds pride, and it feeds arrogance, and it feeds self-righteousness. And people become blinded to what they have become. David committed a great sin in the eyes of Yah. After all that he had been through, and after all that Yahweh had given to him, what came over him? What caused him to do what he did with Bathsheba and then causing her husband to be killed? What changed him? What had made his mind even go to that place where he was able to commit this act? Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. Second Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Yahweh sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich one had flocks and herds, very many, but the poor one had only one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and kept alive. And it grew up with him and with his children together. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. And the wrath of David burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, 'As Yahweh lives, the man who has done this is a son of death. Also, he has to repay fourfold for the lamb because he did this deed and because he had no compassion.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus said Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I anointed you sovereign over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Shaul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and Yehuda. And if that were not enough, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the word of Yahweh to do evil in his eyes? You have killed Uriah the Hitti with the sword, and his wife you took to be your wife. And you have killed him with the sword of the children of Ammon. And now the sword does not turn aside from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus said Yahweh, see, I am raising up evil against you from your own house, and shall take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it in secret, but I shall do this deed before all Israel and before the sun." The story Nathan told David clearly illustrated the control and manipulation that was used in that situation. David was so blinded he did not even recognize the story was about him. David took authority over the lives of Bathsheba and Uriah, authority that was not his to take, and he controlled and he manipulated the situation to his own benefit. Well, that same spirit came back on him later, didn't it? His own family was plagued by that same controlling spirit. I have seen the same spirit at work in believers. I have seen and I have experienced for myself those who want to have authority over other people's lives. That is a great evil. And I have had those come against me who wanted to try and exert control and authority over me. Only one should have authority over your life. When Satan tempted Yeshua, he was seeking to gain control and authority over him. Now, Abba does give authority in the body, but it is not to control or manipulate people. That is not the way of our Abba. He does not manipulate and control us to bring us to him. It is our choice. It always has to be our choice. We are subject to him because we love him. And we willingly and gratefully accept his authority over us and over our lives. He does not try to force us, and he definitely does not try to manipulate us into doing his will. You know, I've been through groups in my life that were very controlling. And it's uncomfortable. You don't realize it so much when you're in the midst of it. But when you come out from underneath that spirit of control and manipulation, you realize just what a great evil it is. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. And verse 8. Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no one any matter except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the Torah. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other command is summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Therefore, love is completion of the Torah. And do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for us to wake up from sleep. For now our deliverance is nearer than when we did believe. The night is far advanced, the day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in wild parties and drunkenness, not in living together and indecencies, not in fighting and envy, but put on the Master, Yehoshua Messiah, and make no provision for the lusts of the flesh. That controlling spirit, that manipulative spirit, takes advantage of the flesh. People who use that spirit against others are tools. They are being used and they don't even see it. So be wary and do not become a victim. And do not subject yourself to that spirit of manipulation and control, because it seeks to take Abba's place in your life. And we do not have to be subject to that spirit or those who use it against us. But we must learn to recognize that spirit of manipulation and control wherever it exists and whoever it comes from, and reject it.
Yivarekika Yahweh, Vayishmareka, Yaer Yahweh Panavileka, Vihuneka, Yisa Yahweh Panavileka, Vyashemnaha Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov!